About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the Joint Staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me in. He said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, No. He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq. Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do." So I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to al-Qaeda?" He said, no. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments." So I came back to see him a few weeks later. And by that time, we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today. And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran."
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Day, March 3rd, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Quite a bit to get into, but I'm going to do my best to keep it to a limited amount of time, and I actually mean that today because I have somebody who I'm interviewing later today after the show. You may be familiar with him, Dr. James Lyons Weiler, PhD. We're revisiting the discussion we had in the past, as well as getting into the information about the triethylene glycol, or TEG, as well as polyethylene glycol, PEG, which he had warned them about before these vaccines, and they didn't seem to care. And now we're seeing that they're having the effects he warned them they would, and they still don't care. But the TEG is in regard to what the EPA just allowed for spraying, for disinfecting. We're going to get into that, not in today's show, but when I speak with him after. So make sure we'll be live again later today. So make sure you stay tuned.
We're going to talk about censorship a little bit to start off. Just a couple of very quick points, maybe a minute or more, just to give you insight on what just happened. And we're going to talk about foreign policy quite a bit to start off. What just happened in Iraq? We have rockets flying yet again. American contractors were killed again, we're told. There's more happening there in the illegally occupied area of Iraq that the United States is illegally occupying, but defending themselves. We'll also talk about some other ridiculous things Biden is doing, just showing you they're reverting right back. I mean, like lockstep, no pun intended, right back into everything they were doing before this. Trump, by the way, was doing all the same things, just with a little flair and different narrative. Meanwhile, the agendas continued. Biden came right out and just initiated the exact same agenda as if Trump was never there, and all the wars continue, the forever wars that we pretend we're not a part of. We're going to talk about vaccines, the side effects, the horrible things happening, and how they're building the scenario right now to, regardless of the evidence, regardless of how everything's going down, they're going to continue to force this into your life with vaccine passports. You know, that fake news thing that's just simply not happening, despite them telling you on the Washington Post, get ready for your vaccine passport. And still today, you'll be called a conspiracy theorist on Twitter. How is that even possible? But let's get into the censorship to start off in interest of time. You won't be surprised to see this. I mean, we've already had our issues with Facebook. They've already been blocking posts and so on. But I woke up today to see, Ryan, your account has been locked. Went through their rigmarole this is their warning, essentially. And it came back up after an hour or so. But the interesting part was they claimed there's suspicious activity. And then they pointed to everything that I did, posting content and sharing information and liking pages that I definitely did like. I guess they just wanted to give me a little bit of a warning. But the point is, this is coming. We could definitely see that this is coming, so it's important that we prepare ourselves for this. Just quickly noticing, as I'm saying that it appears Facebook, what happened on the back end after they did this is it disconnected my connections from Restream.io. I reestablished them today, but it looks like they're still not going through. I bet you that's what this was really about. That's my opinion. I think this really is about stopping the streaming, stopping the connectivity, and across the board, right? On all multi-platform, deplatforming censorship agenda. Patreon, YouTube, Twitter, Google, everything all at once. Yeah, but that's totally coincidental, right? I'm just testing it while I'm saying this. I'm trying to turn them off and back on. And nope, you know, Facebook just made sure that I can't stream anymore to Facebook. Let's just make sure we're clear about what that really is. Now, this is going to continue. I just wanted to make sure you saw that that was happening. On another note, just what's not, again, surprising whatsoever, but the recent show that I did in regard to masks are making you sick, and it seems that's simply part of the plan, where I literally go piece by piece and go over all of this random controlled trials and the cited information from the British Medical Journal and the NIH and all the people that were, quote unquote, supposed to listen to. And I made a very clear point of going through this stuff piece by piece, proving everything I said. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how you prove it. Doesn't matter if it's that I'm proving it. If you say that masks don't do exactly what they say, fake news, censorship, gone. Doesn't matter. So I'm asking all of you, especially the skeptics out there, to look at this. Take a minute, look into it, and take note of all of the information below. Actually, now these will link to the main articles, because this is a combination of the two main discussions of masks, but you go to those links and you will note all of the source material below, as well as, by the way, on that very link, all the source material of mask studies and so on and so on. But it's really pathetic how they continue to censor this stuff without any issue. By the way, I don't even get emails anymore. I don't get any kind of a notification. They just how come they're not removing my channel now? How come, right? That's what, 15 videos they've taken down over the past probably 2 months for my backup channel? Not even a warning, not even a mark or a skip. It's not about any of that right now. They know what they're doing is not guided by their community guidelines. So they're not really trying to take action, just like Patreon suspending forever, Twitter is suspending forever. They know what they're doing. They're concerned that it will come back on them because they know it can, right? They're hoping that the government continues to play ball and just allow them to do whatever they want in interest of the government agenda. But they know what they're doing is wrong and that they can be legally held accountable. So they're going to forever suspend you, which is cowardly. As I pointed out, check out what YouTube desperately does not want you to see. Most importantly, note that literally, and I do mean literally in this sense, literally, literally every point I make is sourced back to the WHO, the NIH, the British Medical Journal, etc. Look for yourself, please, especially if you don't believe me. You can look at the random controlled trials for yourself. You know, the actual science. It's just incredible. But censorship, as we are in the world today, and even James Lyon Weiler and different people, you know, PhDs, experts, are all experiencing this as well, simply because they don't toe the line. Simply because, let's put it this way, they just have a different opinion. You're not allowed to have a different opinion today in these categories. I mean, really take a minute and digest that. That's not us. We all agree. That's what's happening. They're telling you, you can't think that. You're not allowed to think that this is dangerous. That's just not allowed. Now, I also had a great interview with Vanessa Bealey. This was yesterday. Vanessa Bealey, Syria under attack anew, and the BBC's intimidation game, where they BBC openly intimidated and threatened, and I would say threatened, Vanessa Bealey by posting her person, the car that she uses, which is actually owned by a Syrian in Syria, and publicized that on BBC with information saying, here's your car. This is what it looks like. Here's the license plate. Is that not doxing? I mean, understand, this is a war zone, or not technically where she is, but the idea that Syria, at least under their narrative, is that it's a war zone, right? It's dangerous. Can't believe she'd even be there because of all the terrorists everywhere, right? This is what they're trying to, you know, of course, it's all in the US and UK operated areas, but we won't talk about that except for in a minute from now. But they put it out there. And as I said right down here, in an aggressive intimidation campaign against Vanessa Bealey by publishing an image of her personal vehicle used in Syria with more than enough information to ensure that those with the intent, should there be some, could now seek her out and identify her. Let's pretend like that wasn't intentional. I mean, that was the intent. These are not the actions of an honest news outlet, but rather the actions of a criminal outfit trying to scare off real journalists uncovering their complicity in ongoing war crimes, which, again, you can recognize this is the filming of Syria's Saving Syria's Children, where they faked this guy acting like he was hurt. But recognize the point that in all of the shots, guess what you see in the BBC van that they were driving in? ISIS flags, right? Because we're working with ISIS. I guess that's totally okay when you're part of the mainstream media or they just don't point it out. But to get into foreign policy, as Sarah Abdallah points out, why isn't mainstream covering this? Joe Biden's rebels, you know, extremist terrorists that the U.S. government is funding with the interest of trying to overthrow the elected government of the sovereign nation of Syria. Joe Biden's rebels in Syria are stealing 140,000 barrels of Syrian oil a day, while the Syrian people suffer from cold weather and hunger under U.S. starvation sanctions, right? During what they keep telling you is the worst pandemic in a century. But it's okay that we take this stuff from Syrians, but it's all about the bad guy government, right? But we care about the people. We're doing this for the people that our actions are directly hurting. I mean, it just baffles me how anybody thinks that this argument, you could argue that any of this is about the good or the interest of people or fighting for freedom. And on top of any of that, whether even morally you agree with it, guess what? That's illegal, no matter how you spin it. There is no law that says, because we think Syria bad guy, we can break the law. Or because, well, Iran present, even though they're allowed to be there because they're invited by the government of the country, that we can just do what we want. No, it's not how that works. That's how they keep trying to do this. They say, well, look how bad they are, which means we can kind of be bad in the interest of good. Not how that works, but that's what we're being shown today. Might is right. You're powerful, take it. As long as you scream, I'm a good guy. Which, by the way, all the bad guys are recognizing quite quickly, taking a cue from the big, real bad guy. But this is what's happening today. Again, right out of the same old playbook, which we've seen numerous times. Katyusha rockets target the Ayn al-Assad military base housing U.S. forces in Western Iraq. You know, the country that the U.S. government is illegally occupying, that nobody disagrees with. They'll argue what they're doing is in the interest of fighting for freedom and removing the bad guy, but that doesn't take away the fact that they're illegally present. Like, again, it doesn't matter what actually happened, unless there was an open, direct, targeted attack, which is what they try to argue 9/11 was, even while they still kind of go, well, we didn't blame Iraq for 9/11, but we're currently occupying Iraq under the guise that they were part of 9/11. Wait, that doesn't make sense. You see, they will straight up tell you, no, we never claimed Iraq was part of 9/11, but then they'll be there under the guise that they're part of 9/11. There's no other way that makes sense. So they're present in Iraq, which is an illegal occupation. They were not attacked by Iraq, so there's no justification to be present there. Because that's the only time under the rules of war that you're allowed to do something like this, is if you were attacked, and technically you were allowed to attack back, not invade and occupy. But that's what they're doing. And now when they get attacked, or fake attacks, which is what I think this is, but that's my opinion. You can look into it for yourself. All they do, I love this. God, it's so funny. Because since we're talking about foreign policy, we get all of the U.S. government, authoritarian government, Israeli government sycophants out there who scream about how I adore Assad's family dictatorship that's killed over. And actually, let me read it exactly how it's written by Patrick Little. Ryan adores the Assad family dictatorship that has killed over 500,000 since 1970. Yeah, I'd love to see you prove that with documentation. You know why? Because it's a lie. It is a lie. Now, I'm not saying that they haven't committed crimes. Have I ever said that? But you see, the ignorance of these people is that they don't like that I'm calling out the government that they're shilling for, or the governments. In no way have I ever said that Assad's government is not guilty of any crimes and should be the best thing on the. This is not me arguing why their government is better. But you see, this is what these kind of simpletons can't wrap their mind around, that I am not arguing for one side or the other. I'm pointing out lies. I'm pointing out crimes. And if that ends up pointing out that what they said about that government you don't like is in fact a lie, it doesn't mean I'm then saying, but that government is good by default. That is the simpleton mindset that they can't get past. So please rattle on, Patrick Little, because what you're saying is not only false about me and Assad's government, but the fact is you somehow think that I'm arguing that they're better than everything else. It's just simple. It really is. But this is all they have, because when you actually try to argue facts, you end up looking like the fool that Patrick looks right now. But let's get back into this. Katyusha rockets, by the way, we're talking about rockets that are Soviet era without guidance, as always. So the PMU using Soviet-era rockets without guidance makes zero sense, because they're armed by the Iraqi government, which is armed by the U.S. government. So let's pretend like they would go out and find and use the one thing that they know that their government would point back and say, that's the one thing we know that they'll use. It's like, I mean, think about how stupid it is. If you're trying to do this in a sense where this is like signing a document that said, we just did this, hold us accountable. It's just dumb. Now, you could argue that they want to do these things with the intention of making a statement, and that definitely would make sense, especially coming from the PMU, but they would not use something like this. And the idea on top of that is the PMU is part of the Iraqi military, and all of this is being blamed on Iran. There's no evidence whatsoever, period. Now, it says the statement added that security forces had found the launch pad for the projectiles, as always. Because, you know, it's think about the consistency of the narrative from Gaza and Israel and the whole rocket scenario. Every time rockets flew, hit the field, no damage, but they had panic attacks. And then other, you know, 45 bombs just completely demolished numerous parts of Gaza. But the idea is it happens every time, same old thing over and over. So here we are again with the same idea where every time we see these rockets that fly and we have the truck that's left and we have the evidence they need to be able to point back and say, see. But as always, point out how insulting it is that why wouldn't they just take the truck they used to fire them and drive away instead of flee into the night, leaving rockets and evidence? It's ridiculous. An informed security source, meanwhile, told Press TV that the attack involved 10 projectiles of the type that the Iraqi resistance groups used to deploy between 2006-2010. And this is the point. In the course of their efforts to expel the United States from the Arab country. And this is why the U.S. government continues to point to these. Because they want to point to the thing that they can say, see, that's the ones they used back then when they were fighting us. The terrorists protecting their own country from illegal invaders. Terrorists! Right. They used to use between 2006-2010. You know who currently has access to them and has been shown to use them as early as last year? ISIS in Syria. Nobody wants to talk about that. Not even as a possible alternative. Nope. Why? Because they know what their marching orders are. Iran did it. We all know that because the government said, and as the media, our job is to blindly report what the government said, right? You wouldn't know any better if you grew up today. They're using rockets that they can point back to them. And that's why I feel that this is at least being manipulated. 8 of the projectiles, the sources said, struck the American part of the base, while 2 hit the sections that is assigned to the U.S.-led coalition. Now, there's places where there could be Iraqis, and I argue that the PMU would not intentionally bomb Iraqis in the sense because what if you're arguing that it is the PMU, which I'm not sold on, the whole point of them is to attack the U.S. government that is hurting the Iraqi people. It says the incident led to the deaths of 2 American contractors and injured as many as 6 people. Now, there's differing reports from different places. It noted, adding that the episode also resulted in material damage to both parts of the outpost. Iraqi and Western security sources, however, said a contractor with the U.S.-led military coalition died of a heart attack during the rocket attack. That's not a joke. His nationality has not been unveiled. So we're hearing from both Iraqi sources and from multiple sources that this is an individual that died during the rocket attacks. Now, Western sources are basically saying, well, no, he just had a heart attack during the attack, but we're not going to tell you what his nationality is. What does that usually mean? That is an Israeli. That's my opinion. Usually when you have this unknown nationality in the middle of a U.S. government operation, it's typically something like that, as well as the fact that they usually would not want to admit that their attacks were successful, that they actually killed an Israeli. So they will, no, he just had a heart attack. This is typical. Now, this is my opinion, but I've seen this flesh out more than once, and it ends up being something just like that. And this is what we have to remember, that the Israeli government is operating illegally inside of Iraq because the U.S. government allows them to. We covered this months back in 2020. The U.S. government gave them U.S. passports, which should bother you as an American, but nobody seemed to care, to allow them to illegally enter Iraq and carry out attacks on Iraqis. But no one seems to care about that either because they can just break the law whenever they want. Now, it says that Sabreen News, a Telegram news channel associated with Iraqi PMU, reported that CRAM systems, as well as the Patriot Advanced Capability 2 missile systems, deployed at the base, but were not able to intercept the rockets. Now, let's break that down for a second. You're telling me that first of all, just get the joke out of the way now, and the rightfully stated joke that these systems don't work as well as plenty of other things out there, and that other governments have tried to go away from them, being attacked by the U.S. government for not buying the less effective and more expensive weaponry. Now, that being said, regardless of how the problems that they clearly have, the idea that these systems wouldn't be able to stop an unguided rocket from the 70s is insulting to our intelligence. But sure, let's pretend like they were on full defense and their Patriot Advanced Capability 2 missile systems couldn't stop a 70s era Soviet rocket with no guidance. Sure, let's just gobble that right up. But there's another part of the story when you listen to other outlets that might alter that. But at the same time, this is why I begin to feel that this is being manipulated. At the very least, carried out by people involved, not from people who are there telling you it is. And that doesn't mean that if you think for one second that your government or governments they're working with would not kill a American contractor, someone who is like the US-led coalition, so somebody who's not an American but working with them, and they wouldn't sacrifice their life to do this while they're literally starving an entire nation just to achieve control over the area. If you really think they wouldn't do that, then you're just not paying attention. Not saying they are, but it's certainly possible. Now, coming over to Middle East Eye, Iraq, civilian contractor dies in rocket attack. Now, it says that the civilian contractor was with the US-led coalition in Iraq died of a heart attack. Again, that seems to be the Western narrative. And it says that at least 10 rockets hit the sprawling base which hosts Iraqi forces and troops from the US-led coalition. So that's interesting. The idea is Iraqi forces present, and there were some places that got hit. Again, makes me question whether the PMU would do that, but it's not outside their own possibility. The sources could not confirm the contractor's nationality. Of course. Of course, we can't confirm. We know exactly who it is, but we can't tell you. Because that's them not being able to confirm. No, that's stated what it is. They're not telling you what his nationality is. And the U.S.-led coalition did not respond to requests for comment. I wonder why. Iraqi security forces said 10 Grad-type rockets hit the sprawling base on Wednesday morning, but said there were no notable casualties, which seems to be quite contradictory to what we're being told. But that's typical when you have a lie. When you're lying about what's going on and trying to sell a narrative, you find these inconsistencies. Now, the Grad, M21 Grad missiles, or excuse me, rockets, it says, again, as a Soviet truck-mounted 122, I believe that's millimeter, I'm not, you know, a munitions expert, rocket launcher. It says they were first developed in the 1960s, saw combat 1969. So again, it's, you know, basically them saying, yep, those are 70-era non-guided rockets. Similar idea. But then it says Western security sources, however, told the French press agency that the rockets were Iranian-made Arash models, which are 122-millimeter artillery rockets and heavier than those seen in the attacks on the Western targets in Iraq. So just jumping right over, and guess what? Blaming Iran. Why? Because the Katyusha rockets, even though they keep saying those are Iran, I guess don't seem to be connecting enough for people. Right? They'll keep telling us those are the ones Iran. That's Iran. So if they're Katyusha, that's Iran. And now they're just kind of pulling it further. It's interesting to me. But here's what it says about these Arash ones. It says that it's a series of 122-millimeter unguided artillery rocket developed by Iran. It's a copy of the BM-21 Grad. So similar concept. But what's interesting is it says a guided version for the Iranian Defense Ministry was recently tested. Right. So this is their attempt, I guess, at pretending like this is July 2020, but in July 2020, Iran has far better access this is getting off the point, but this is them, in my opinion, trying to argue that these specific type of rockets are Iran's. And even they even tested them recently, except we're not talking about recent stuff. We're talking about unguided Soviet era types that they just admitted to. So I think the end of the day, the point is trying to lay this at the feet of Iran, again, using the same old things they've been using over and over and over, which don't actually make any sense with anybody being honest about that tie back to Iran or the PMU for that matter. So I'm very, very skeptical about what this is. At the very least, what is this doing, right? Who benefits from this? The U.S. government does, because they get to argue why they need to continue to stay, which is obviously where Biden has shifted back into in all of their illegal occupations. It benefits Israel because they're blaming Iran and shifting the narrative towards Iran continuing to do this. It benefits the overall agenda to completely take control of the Middle East. Everything about this benefits them. But the real point is, regardless of what you think about any of this, with the U.S. under attack in Iraq, or attacking itself, you can look at it either way, the real question is why America is there at all, rather than fighting back. Because they're illegally occupying the country. The West consistently feeds us the one-sided notion that attacks on American soldiers in Iraq are an act of aggression and a crime against the peace. Even though you can't have peace when you're currently militarily occupying, but whatever. And it says, and not, in fact, the other way around. The U.S. has no real business being in Iraq, and it never did. The Iraqi government doesn't want the Americans there. They voted to have them leave. They didn't care, while screaming that they respect their sovereignty. But it doesn't mean to, but that doesn't seem to have, they have a choice. They don't at all. It says, the Iraqi government doesn't want the Americans there. but doesn't seem to have a choice. And bar the Kurds, neither does the population at large, because the Kurds are simply a proxy of the U.S. government in Israel. Being majority Shiite, not historic, I mean, in the sense in Iraq, as well as Syria, being majority Shiite, they largely have a natural affinity with neighboring Iran. You are legally occupying a country which nobody argues otherwise. The UN, they are illegally present. They're guys that they have some kind of moral obligation to stay there. It's not only dishonest, it's insulting in a lot of different ways. But at the end of the day, you can't act like you're defending anything when you're there breaking the law to begin with. I don't know why this has to be stated. It's just, it's incredible. People are ignoring the facts because they want to push an agenda. Let's think about COVID-19 in that regard. It's the same concept. Now, on that note, the ICC opens investigations into war crimes in Palestinian territories, right? So this is showing you that the people involved with these attacks are committing crimes and the world sees it. And all they're going to do is push back and scream about how these people are racist, right? Let that sink in as you're looking at this picture, right? This Netanyahu is calling these people anti-Semites. They're calling them racist. Like, it's what I think is really funny is that we're coming from a point where the U.S. in general, U.S. society is just falling all over themselves about the issue of race and the discussion of all of these things that are becoming parodies of themselves because of how absurd it is. The idea that certain kinds of people can't be racist because of whatever reason in and of itself is racist. It's we are a clown shoe ridiculous today in where we are. The world looks at us like that right now. It's embarrassing because we are going so far over the top and people outside of our two-party illusion look at us and go, you guys are acting like children. So my point coming back is amazing that this society can't look outwardly and recognize that the people that they're fighting for are the people that are the most racist around. I mean, I'll even show you Netanyahu's comments on this, where he states yet again that this is the Jewish country. Yet there's plenty of non-Jewish people that live there. I mean, it's insult. Like, you couldn't say that about anything else. Now, inquiry expected to investigate alleged crimes committed by both Israelis and Palestinians, which is important to remember. Now, personally, I find that comment to be just so it's fair and equal and legal. But if this is an actual genuine investigation, it'll be immediate that you recognize Geneva Conventions, UN precedent throughout history showing you that the illegal occupier has the right to an armed rebellion, period. No one argues they're not occupying. The UN continues to say that. So the ICC and International Criminal Court will continue to say that. So it seems that at the very least, we've heard this before, but it's good news to hear that they're calling out Israel in regard to their crimes. The International Criminal Court has launched an investigation into alleged war crimes in the Palestinian territories, including the period covered by the 2014 Gaza War, potentially placing hundreds of Israelis, including soldiers and senior political figures, at risk of prosecution. Thank God. You know, I don't want to say that this is going to happen, because we've seen this happen before, where it falls on its face, or Mike Pompeo stands up and blusters about how the ICC are criminals, or Bolton stands up and literally threatens their families and their children, and we act like that's good old democracy stuff. The long-awaited inquiry, which has been fiercely resisted by Israel, I wonder why, follows years of deliberations over whether the ICC has jurisdiction to investigate and is expected to investigate alleged crimes committed by both Israelis and Palestinians. Now, what's interesting is, this has been resisted for quite a long time, and the idea that the ICC has the ability to investigate war crimes committed by governments is exactly what it's supposed to be doing. The only reason that they claim that they don't have the ability is because the ICC is only supposed to investigate countries that don't hold themselves accountable. That's the joke, right? So, it's beyond reproach that the U.S. and Israel, of course, well, they're democracies, so of course they hold themselves accountable. It's a worldwide joke. It really is. The powerful protect the powerful. The rest of the majority of the world laughs when that kind of thing is said, because it's painfully obvious what imperial governments have marched around the world and continue to murder families, destroy countries, rob resources, you know, all the same old things, use chemical weapons, white phosphorus and so on, you know, the same old stuff. Meanwhile, we have places like Syria where they continue to scream about chemical weapons, and over and over and over and over it is shown that they are lying. Duma gets exposed, right? Khan Shukun in the beginning gets exposed. I mean, we just talked about Carlo Del Ponte openly stating, no, the evidence was the rebels used it. And we go forward and people like Trump included, or what was it, Nikki Haley standing in front of the UN and saying, we have evidence that he used them here, here, and here, in direct contradiction to what the United Nations said. But yet we'll continue to that. I mean, the guy in the chat will scream, see, oh, you're defending chemical attacks. And it's just, it's all about the evidence. All comes down to the evidence, which is exactly what we're talking about here, which is why this scares them. The long-awaited inquiry, which has been fiercely resisted by Israel, follows the years of deliberations. Announcing the investigation, the chief prosecutor, Fatou Bensouda, said the court would look into the crimes within the jurisdiction of the court that are alleged to have been committed since the 13th of June, 2014. If the investigation identifies suspects allegedly responsible for crimes, prosecutors can ask judges to issue international arrest warrants. It's a big deal, which can remain under seal to help authorities apprehend those charged. Now, what government wouldn't want a fair investigation of crimes? If Israel does not think that it's going to be that it committed crimes, and here they are saying, look, we're looking at the Palestinians and the Israelis alike. If you're an honest government, you would welcome that. I mean, what's the same old thing they tell us all the time? Well, if you've got nothing to hide, right? Why are you acting like that if you've got nothing to hide? Well, you're not guilty. You have nothing to hide, right? Come on, Netanyahu. If you didn't commit any crimes, then you got nothing to hide, right? Throw it back in their face. The point is they're hiding from this because they know who actually is going to be charged with, who actually committed the crimes. The law is very apparent. What they're doing in every sense of the word are crimes. Everywhere. What doesn't matter. Look, in this case, even especially, which I'll show you the video in a minute. Children, whether throwing rocks or not, being shot in this sense are a direct violation of the Geneva Conventions. They know this. They think that they have the power with the control of the UN, with the United States military and everything else, that they have the power. But right now it is swinging back around because people like us are relentless in continuing to point out why they're criminals. Not Jewish people at large, for all you trying to play that game. The Israeli government and their obvious, painstakingly, insultingly obvious crimes. Now it says the announcement follows a 2019 decision that there was, quote, reasonable basis for a war crimes probe. And a ruling on February 5th that the courts, the jurisdiction extends to territories occupied by Israel since the 1967 Six-Day War. So here's the point. So if Israel, you know, even though it didn't exist until it literally occupied Palestine, hypothetically speaking, had it had territory before that, and had it just been somewhere else and did something, the point is that, or the argument would be that they didn't have jurisdiction in Israel because they weren't part of the ICC, which is also the point. Israel refuses to be a part of the ICC. The United States pulled out of it as well, but they were up until Bolton and Pompeo, they were part of it. So the point is they're saying you don't have jurisdiction, but they're occupying Palestine, which is an illegal occupation, meaning they have the right, as well as the right because Palestinians welcome it, which again shows you something. Well, the Palestinians clearly wouldn't welcome this. Well, you could argue they could, but the point is you have one side welcoming it. Please investigate us too. Investigate everybody. And the other side going, no, you can't do any of it because only the Palestinians are criminals. It's like, come on. It's quite clear, in my opinion, what that shows you. Now it says that ruling prompted swift rejection from Jerusalem, with Netanyahu condemning the judge's decision as pure anti-Semitism, which is the classic couch cop-out response. No one even stated anything about Jewish people. This is about the crimes of a government and the fact that they're continuing to investigate. What they're arguing is there's deep-seated anti-Semitism behind the whole thing, and that's why they're doing this, because they're actually going after Jewish people. Point out Jewish people being held accountable here. Anywhere. Anyone. It's not happening. This is about, we're talking about specifically going after Netanyahu and their government's actions. They are not trying to point out that the Jewish people at large committed some kind of crime in Palestine, right? I'm sure there's somebody out there would make that argument. This is not talking about that. It is specifically the government. So when they try to make it out to be anti-Semitism, you may think, maybe you agree with them. There's deep-seated UN, the whole thing. Fine, prove it then. They don't like when you say that, you see, because how dare you? I'm insulted. Be insulted all you want. Things require evidence. Clearly, Netanyahu doesn't think so when he can scream about Iran this and Iran that, and here's a CD-ROM display, and here's a little bomb with cartoon, you know, Wile E. Coyote bomb. We just scream that we have the proof and never show it, which is exactly what the U.S. government does today, too. but prove it. If you think that's what's happening, prove it. Show, demonstrate me where there's been a consistent show of anti-Semitism. I mean, it's just, they won't do it because it's not the truth. Joe Biden's administration said it disagreed with the ICC action against Israel. However, the U.S. is not a party to the ICC, which I found very interesting. I almost wonder whether or not the ICC is just being used as a tool to make Israel kind of pull back on its aggressive efforts to drive U.S. policy. Even though they're allowing them to do it, they don't want it to be that obvious. Just a thought. The probe is expected to cover the 2014 Gaza War, the 2018 Gaza border clashes, and the Israeli settlement building in the West Bank, all of which are flagrantly illegal. The inquiry will also look at whether rocket fire by Hamas and other groups from Gaza amounts to war crimes, which I'm glad they're doing that. Why? Because it'll be impossible to come away saying these are war crimes when you can obviously see it's an illegal occupation. And it's not hard to look and to see. It's very clear that that is considered legal under illegal occupation, armed rebellion. The decision to open the investigation followed a painstaking preliminary examination undertaken by my office lasted close to 5 years. Recognize that. 5 years of investigation before this even began, and Netanyahu is acting like it's just a quick off-the-cuff kind of racist attack on Israel. No, this has been an ongoing, extensive, painstakingly preliminary investigation, which is now beginning the real one. Quote, in the end, our central concern must be for the victims of crimes, both Palestinian and Israeli, arising from the long cycle of violence and insecurity that has caused deep suffering and despair on all sides. Oh, and how did that begin again? Oh, that's right. The illegal occupation from the Zionists of Palestine. That's what it was. Now, Kasim, a Hamas spokesperson in Gaza, told Reuters, again, think of the contrast between what Netanyahu is saying. Quote, we welcome the ICC decision to investigate Israeli occupation war crimes against our people. It is a step forward on the path of achieving justice for the victims of our people. Quote, our resistance is legitimate and it comes to defend our people. All international laws approve legitimate resistance. He's absolutely right. You can call him whatever you want. He's right. What they're doing is legally allowed under international law and stated routinely throughout these discussions. I mean, there's no argument for that. I always want to get in a conversation with somebody who argues something like this or something as naively ignorant as they're all terrorists over there, which is literally what Netanyahu says. Hopefully this actually goes the direction we think it will. Oh, and here I actually want to play this first. Take a listen to what Netanyahu had to say. Thank you, Marshall, for sharing this. Here's what Netanyahu had to say. I'll read this first because he is lying. I mean, literally almost everything he says in this is a lie. Lies by Prime Minister Netanyahu on the ICC decision to open the investigation into Israeli war crimes, shooting medics, nurses, press, unarmed Palestinian civilians, including children, and using banned munitions, cluster bombs, white phosphorus are war crimes. All of that has been unequivocally proven. I've shown you on the show shooting medics. I have shown you doctors from Canada being shot while being in Gaza trying to help people. They're targeted. More than one international news outlet has called them out for targeting them while being present because they don't want the truth to get out. Shooting unarmed Palestinians, well, that's just what they do. They just claim it's because they're throwing rocks or because they're all terrorists, which is irrelevant in regard to the idea that they are illegally occupied. Using banned munitions, cluster bombs, white phosphorus are constant. Here's what he has to say.
The decision of the International Court to open an investigation against Israel today for war crimes is absurd. It's undiluted anti-Semitism in the height of hypocrisy. Without any jurisdiction, it decided that...
Do you know how easy it is to just call anything... I mean, by the way, that's exactly what I think is happening in this country to a large degree. Not that that means there's not racism or not anti-Semitism, but what it means is using that to cover crimes. You know how easy it is to just murder people and be like, oh, you're accusing me of being a murderer? You're racist. What? That's a dumb argument, but here we are.
Our brave soldiers who take every precaution to avoid civilian casualties.
Every precaution to avoid civilian casualties. Maybe this is Palestinian child feels differently. Small child there. Oh, well, according to Netanyahu, they're going to immediately look away and protect him because they're taking every effort to protect these people, right? Oh,
וואי, זה סרטון! יש! בן של זונה. איזה סרטון, הנה, תרוץ לפנות אותו. בטח.
Yeah, clearly, right? Clearly, they take every precaution to make sure that they don't target young children standing in an open field, not committing any violation or any, not doing anything. Now, just so you're aware, I could literally show you one after the other for the next hour and a half clips just like this, showing you how they're violating the rights of children, how they're targeting journalists, how they're shooting people who are standing with their arms in the air. I've shown you on the show. I've gone through all of it. But just think about how insulting it is that he is saying this. And this is, I mean, this is, guys, this is on the Guardian News channel, which, by the way, should never mean anything other than the fact that it's mainstream. But for those that think mainstream holds some kind of, you know, more value, they're showing you Israeli sniper appears to shoot unarmed Palestinian man in Gaza. Okay, let's listen to what he said again.
Hypocrisy. Without any jurisdiction, it decided that our brave soldiers who take every precaution to avoid civilian casualties against the worst terrorist in the world who deliberately target civilians.
Oh, so they deliberately target civilians. Clearly. How, so they deliberately, let me get this straight. You're telling me they deliberately target civilians from behind barbed wire fences and massive mounds of dirt with unguided rockets, but they directly target civilians. See, if you just care enough to look in and just think past the narrative, they lie about everything. How exactly are they targeting civilians with unguided rockets from behind massive fields of dirt and barbed wire fence? This is what it looks like to target children, to openly target people, call them sons of whores and high-five each other after you murder a child in an open field. But let's pretend like this is just a bad apple of group. No, this is what they're trained to do. And there's been generals in the Israeli military that have admitted that they are trained and taught to target children. I've gone over all this on the show. I've already, see, I knew I would take too much time on this, and this deserves all the time in the world. But since I'm trying to not take a, you know, I wanted to just show you this clip, but the reality is there's an endless amount of examples showing you exactly what they are doing constantly.
It's our soldiers who are war criminals. They said,
yeah, that's actually true.
That when we build a house in our eternal capital, Jerusalem, it's been our capital for 3,000 years. That too is a war crime.
Oh, so that's been their capital for 3,000. Well, let's take a look at what one of the founding members of Israel has to say about that. Golda, what do you think?
I mean, when were Palestinians born? What was all this area before the First World War? When Britain got the mandate over Palestine, what was Palestine then? Palestine was then the area between the Mediterranean and the Iraqi border.
You say there's no such thing
East
as a Palestinian?
East and West Bank, no. East and West Bank was Palestine. I'm a Palestinian. From 21 until...
What do you know about that? So I actually shouldn't have cut it right there. She goes on to say from 2020, the date she says, I had a Palestinian passport. That's what she said. I've played that 1,000 times. But that's one of the founding members of Israel, one of the first prime ministers. Right? So how can she state that that was actually Palestine, but here's Netanyahu telling you that that was always theirs? Oops, right? It's trouble with facts or history, you know, unless you have complete control over the internet and you can scrape things, which, that's exactly what they're trying to create. Netanyahu just called for a UN of the internet so they can just kind of get rid of all that uncomfortable truth. The fact is they're caught lying over and over and over. Marshall says 21 to 48, she had a Palestinian passport. I've played it many times. I'll try to find the clip. That's actually on my computer, but I'll try and find the clip so I can share it with you guys as well. But, I mean, let's play it again. How can you argue it's always been theirs if Golda Meir is telling you that it was Palestine before they took it?
Capital Jerusalem. It's been our capital for 3,000 years. That, too, is a war crime. This court that was established to prevent the repetition of the Nazi horrific crimes committed against the Jewish people is now turning its guns against the one and only state of the Jewish people.
Right. So I guess there's only Jewish people live there, apparently. right? I mean, doesn't this constantly show you that they, while illegally occupying these territories, they're also simultaneously acting like they don't have to do anything for them? So they're violating multiple parts of this. Like, I understand that if you occupy a territory, technically you're supposed to remove your troops after the conflict is over. Right. That's one thing. That's why it's an illegal occupation. But secondarily, while there's an occupation going on, if you're technically there under current war, but you like the point is that you could even argue this is why they continue to maintain this war footing. But the point is that they are obligated to take care of the people that are underneath that. Right. So if you're fighting the military of a country, there's still people that are just there that shouldn't be taken, they shouldn't be used. But this is what the U.S. government, the Israeli government, this is what they do. They, by policy, they use the civilians. They target the civilians. They sanction the civilians. So my point is, when you occupy a place, whether illegal or not, isn't your obligation to prepare to support them? Yes. But this is why the Palestinians have 97% undrinkable water. That's why the Palestinians have only 7-8 hours of electricity a day. This is why the Palestinians aren't allowed to leave from Gaza. It's an open air prison to which they're continually attacked and hit and bombed and abused, kidnapped and raped and imprisoned over and over and over. It's just, hopefully this is setting in for some people as he's arguing his absurd lies.
It's guns against the one and only state of the Jewish people.
So those Palestinians aren't allowed to be, aren't part of the Jewish state, yet they're not allowed to leave. But it's their fault. This is how simple this is to break down, you guys. And it's incredible that you still have these mainstream pundits that will scream that by stating the obvious that makes us racist.
It's targeting Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East.
The only democracy in the Middle East that is obviously not a democracy. The only democracy in the Middle East openly, I mean, the way that they conduct themselves is an authoritarian apartheid state. That's what this is. Now they're a vaccine apartheid state as well, coming to a country near you.
But of course, it turns a blind eye to Iran, Syria, and the other dictatorships that are committing real war crimes. Left and right.
Like, which ones? Right? Point them out for me. Where's the last time Iran committed a war crime? Show me where Syria committed a war crime. I'm sure they'll point out the gas attacks that have been debunked 100 times over, where you have 13 people from the OPCW coming out and claiming it was all manipulated, where you have a BBC journalist and a Newsweek journalist coming out and telling you that it's fake news and they lied about everything, but somehow it still goes forward. Or the fact that we have shown you past examples of the UN claiming that it was the rebels that committed it. But you know, the point is they'll continue to state that as fact, as I told you before. I mean, just focus on Iran because that's what he's actually trying to get at. Point out where Iran has committed war crime. They will desperately try to blame things on them left and right. Limpet mines and different things, which we just talked about with Vanessa Bealey. But as I keep saying, if they could prove it, if they could put things in front of you that made you have no doubt that Iran did this, of course they would do that. You know how embarrassing it is that Netanyahu continues to claim they're months away from a bomb for 50 years? The point is that if they had the proof, they would be waving it in front of you until you couldn't stand to see it anymore. That's why this isn't the truth. And it's obvious. Not only that, it's because the facts don't back it up and there's no evidence for it. But they're committing all these crimes everywhere while you're knowingly, openly, and documentably murdering people and claiming it's for good things because they're all terrorists. Evidence matters, guys. And that's the point. You don't just get to scream racism when they have the evidence, and that's why this is happening.
We will never stop fighting this injustice. We will speak the truth in every forum, in every country, on every stage, until this outrageous decision is reversed and becomes null and void.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to continue to do the things they've always been doing, right? Which is continuing to use their allies, manipulate the news, and try to lie to you about what's really going on. Meanwhile, Palestinians, you know, half of which are children in that millions and millions of people in the open air prison of Gaza, 3% drinkable water, barely in electricity, struggling in the middle of the winter where they're not even giving them the medical stuff that they say that they're supposed to give them. I mean, it's insulting. It should be. As they're openly targeting children and calling the other people war crimes. But Israel is now basically trying to use everything they can. Again, this is to my point. If Iran was committing these crimes, prove it. Don't just stand up and say they are linked to the oil spill off the coast. So they had an oil spill, right? Which You could argue it could be blamed on Israel or people more associated around the area with the ships involved in the location it happened in. It's a private ship owned by a Libyan company, but nonetheless, it's seemingly not connected to Iran, except that Israel speaks up and goes, Iran did that too! that oil spill. And not only that, they called it an environmental terrorism. Right. As we actually have evidence that people like the Israeli government and the U.S. government are in fact using geoengineering manipulation to try to affect people's water rainfall and so on. That's not a conspiracy theory, guys. That's a real world scenario. And we know that they're doing it to supposedly, you know, reduce climate change, but we can't even wrap our minds around the fact that they could use it to do something in regard to stopping rain that could hurt their enemies. I mean, come on. And it happens constantly. But that's why this is what it looks like to accuse them of that which you are guilty. Iran is engaged in terrorism, it says, not only with the help of nuclear weapons. Okay, so you mean those weapons that you claim they don't have yet, but they're almost ready to have them, but yet you're also arguing that they're using this with the help of them that they don't have yet? Awesome. Or by trying to establish itself along our borders, which obviously is not happening. All they're going to claim is the proxies, which they never proved, are in fact even tied to Iran other than politically and ideologically. Iran is waging terrorism by harming the environment. Our struggle is against pollution and harm to the environment is what blah, blah. Just, you know, they're doing stuff and it's bad. And then he goes on to say, well, we'll give you more details when it could be. Yeah. When's the last time that actually happened? Please, you think I'm wrong? I would love to see evidence that proved this. Not our intelligence shows that they did this and we'll keep that national security. Not that. Actual evidence that proved they did it. Because you won't find it, because I argue it didn't happen. Now, in other foreign policy news, U.S. defends not sanctioning Mohammed bin Salman for Khashoggi's murder. So they come out and say, yeah, we know he did it. And we're going to prove it to you now because we're the good guys. We're not like Trump. We're the good side of the government. We're fighting for freedom. And yeah, he did it. And then we'll do exactly what Trump did, which is argue that your relationship with the Saudi kingdom of the authoritarian monarchy is more important than the life of a journalist that was killed in an embassy, or all the lives in Yemen, or all the people they're continuing to attack, and the people that they crucify in the public square for holding hands in public, all the good things they do over there in Saudi Arabia. Following U.S. intel report, State Department spokesman says Biden seeks to recalibrate, not rupture, the U.S.-Saudi. Please be insulted by this. Like, they could have just left it alone, you realize. And not pointed out that we know he did it and then said, we're not going to do anything about it. So this is for a reason. This is a political tool they're being used against Saudi Arabia for a lot of things. But Joe Biden's administration has defended its decision to not apply sanctions. So they'll apply sanctions to Iran, to Yemen, to countries that are struggling, to Syria because of claims from people that they support. But we can have unequivocal proof that MBS not only was a part of this, but ordered it. His people did this. And then we go, nah, their relationship's important, so we don't care. Why do people not see what these governments are? We're working to put the U.S.-Saudi relationships on the right footing. So do they care about war crimes? Do they care about, just assassination? Do they care about government assassination? Do they care about just crimes? Apparently not. They only care about it when they can be used against people they don't like. Had the Biden administration done, quote, something more dramatic and something more drastic by naming MBS for sanctions, it would greatly diminish U.S. influence in Riyadh, Price said. Oh, well, thanks, U.S. government. So it's more important to have influence in the Saudi authoritarian dictatorship than it is to defend human rights that you pretend you care about all around the world. Got it. Politics are more important than what you claim you stand for. That's the only thing you should take away from that. Same thing Trump showed you. In other news, Israel, U.S. agree to consult with each other on Iran decisions. So after Israel stands up and threatens Biden and says, if you go back in the JCPOA, we're going to take a military action against Iran. And the U.S. goes, oh, okay, we'll talk to you first. You have to be able to see the series of events. U.S. government, whether Trump or Biden, does not do anything without the okay of Israel. And Israel can stand up in a public sense and call them out and say, if you do that, we will attack Iran. And the next day, U.S. comes out and goes, okay, we'll work with you first because we're friends. So it's a one-way relationship. Recognize that. The U.S. will acquiesce to what Israel wants. If the U.S. wants something, Israel will threaten them to get what they want. On Tuesday, Israeli foreign minister said that the U.S. and Israel agreed that neither country would make decisions on Iran policy and the nuclear deal without consulting. Sure. Let's pretend like Israel wouldn't attack something or carry out any kind of any number of military actions or false flags or any number of things like that if it benefited them, even if the U.S. didn't know about it or wanted them to do it. History has been very clear that they will absolutely do so at the literal detriment of the U.S. government and its people. Or excuse me, the country and its people. U.S. sanctions two Houthi commanders. Ah, okay. So we won't sanction Mohammed bin Salman for openly murdering a journalist in a consulate. A journalist that wrote for the Washington Post, by the way. Nah, that's not important because they're money and oil and military and stuff. That's what we really care about. But Anthony Blinken, all about the freedom and liberty, he's going after the Houthis, the elected government of the Yemeni people who is currently living in the world's worst humanitarian crisis. But let's sanction them during the greatest pandemic in a century, because that all adds up, doesn't it? Because we're all about freedom and liberty and democracy and human rights. The U.S. sanctioned two leaders of Yemen's Houthi movement on Tuesday, accusing the group of prolonging the war in Yemen. That's not a joke. That Biden administration wants to end. So Biden really wants to end that war, but the Houthis just won't stop making war. That is actually their argument. So they are continuing to allow the Saudi coalition that's pushed by the U.S. government to bomb and murder and attack and, destroy their resources, their wheat, their grain, to block the port, to continue to bomb school buses and attack schools and hospitals. But the Houthis defending themselves are why this just won't stop. This is the kind of grotesque misrepresentation that we're seeing from this government. I mean, guys, this is no different than what Trump is doing, but it's almost as if Biden is trying to force this back the way it was before Trump got elected. And all it's doing is exposing their hand even more. You don't just get to flip things back the other way. We don't buy your narrative anymore. It says Secretary of State Anthony Blinken released a statement on the sanctions where he condemned the Houthis for ongoing fighting in Yemen's Marib province and recent attacks inside Saudi Arabia. In February, the Houthis offered to stop launching drone and missile attacks inside Saudi Arabia in exchange for a halt to Riyadh's bombing campaign, but Saudi bombs continued to attack Yemen. Right, okay, so he's sanctioning them because they're continuing to defend themselves. Make sure you understand that. Saudis continue to bomb Yemen. We all see that. And because they fight back, we're going to sanction them. But we're not going to sanction Saudi Arabia, even though we know the leader murdered a journalist, but we'll defend what they're doing because their relationship is important to us. So no one cares about human rights. No one cares about liberty and democracy. We're working with an authoritarian dictatorship, and we don't even sanction the guy who actually just killed somebody, and we admitted we know he did. If you don't know what's going on today, it's because you are not looking. If you can't see how stupidly obvious these criminals are, you are not caring to pay attention. How do you not see? All you need to do is put these two things next to each other, and you can see what's really going on. But it's only one part of a huge ability to do so. Blinken also accused Iran, of course, of stoking the conflict in Yemen, despite the fact that the previous administration had already laid the groundwork for how they weren't working with Iran. But now they will be, because, who cares? Let's just flip the switch again. And now they're back working with Iran, even though they were first, and then we said we were wrong about that. But now we're coming back again because they always were, because now Biden's president. Ridiculous. Iran's involvement in Yemen, they say, fans the flames of the conflict, not the bombings of Saudi Arabia, not the UAE torture prisons working with the CIA in Yemen. None of that, right? No, it's Iran claiming that what the U.S. government's doing in Yemen is wrong from their own country. That is the problem. They're threatening greater escalation. Really? When's the last time Iran threatened to escalate what was happening in Yemen? This is what our government is saying. Miscalculation and regional instability, Blinken said. I'm going to have a hell of a 4 years making fun of Blinken. And he says the Houthis use, quote, Iranian weapons to conduct attacks threatening civilian targets. Here we are back with that old thing again, despite the fact that it's been unequivocally shown that the Houthis very clearly developed these inside of Yemen. And then that they even proved that with the narrative they tried to spin about how it was Iran that attacked Saudi Arabia. And then once it became painfully clear that it wasn't, they just dropped it and walked away. And by the way, there's been numerous attacks in the same vein from the Houthis on Saudi Arabia since then, and it wasn't this world-shattering event that it was the first time. Does that show you something? It should. That it only means the world is the most important thing when they want it to be. They were trying to lay at the feet of Iran. It didn't work. They gave up. The Houthis continue to fight back. It says the vicious U.S.-Saudi bombing campaign, coupled with a blockade, has killed hundreds of thousands of Yemenis and millions are on the brink of famine. Until President Biden announced a change of policy last month, the U.S. stood by while the coalition bombed hospitals, markets, farms, fishing boats, houses, and schools. But I argue that's even incorrect because Biden didn't shift his policy. He said something different while everything continues, and they still support the Saudis in their illegal bombing campaigns. As Sarah points out, British media is more upset over Meghan Merkel's earrings than the UK government and the royal family fueling a literal genocide in Yemen, where millions have been bombed and starved to death for 6 years straight by selling billions in weapons to Saudi Arabia. Let that sink in. But sure, the media is happy to keep pointing out nonsensical things to keep you in the bread and circuses of it all. Blinken also speaks with Venezuela's Guaido, really showing you how they're just really, they're flipping it all back. Guaido is meaningless today. They can't get out of their same old redundant policy. Guaido has literally zero support. He never really did. Not even less than that most people in the world didn't. But now in Venezuela, it is pathetic. It says, continuing the Trump administration's failed regime change policy, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken spoke with Juan Guaido on Tuesday, who the U.S. recognizes as the interim president of Venezuela, even though Nicolas Maduro holds the position. Now ask yourself this. If somebody in the U.S. government tried to overthrow the sitting president, would he still be walking around the United States? Right. In the democracy here, the guy would be in Guantanamo. In the dictatorship over there, the guy's just walking around. Just let that sink in when they try to compare, you know, the democracies to the dictatorships. According to a statement from the State Department, Blinken told Guaido the U.S. is working with, quote, like-minded allies to press for a peaceful, democratic transition. They're living in a fantasy world. I mean, they're election, like multiple past this now. The Venezuela is going on in their own direction. And despite the aggressive continued actions to starve these people, that never stopped, by the way. Guaido lost what little support he had in Venezuela a long time ago. After Guaido lost his seat in Venezuela's National Assembly as well, the EU even, I already talked about this, rescinded its recognition of him as interim president. So the EU doesn't even recognize him anymore. Here's Blinken and Biden just going along like business as usual, right? Forever wars, Guaido, he's the good guy, he's the president. Consulting. Ex-defense secretaries urged the U.S. to stay in Afghanistan, right? That's almost like we got all of the, we told you that these wouldn't end. In fact, they would get worse. And just because Trump said he wanted to do something, and it's just, you get lost in the two-party illusion, and what you miss is that the same old thing keeps going. President Biden was already heading for the decision to abandon the U.S. Taliban peace deal and keep troops in Afghanistan. Now he's got a pair of former defense secretaries piling on, and the bottom line, they're going to stay in Afghanistan. Exactly like I told you they would. And then to cherry on top of the absurdity pie, well, U.S. to seek election into United Nations Human Rights Council. I really hope things have changed enough to where the rest of the people in this council laugh when they try to say we want to be like that in. But, you know, if Saudi Arabia is currently on this council, we should be insulted by any of them. It's a joke. It's a defunct concept. But I'm here to reaffirm America's commitment to respect and defend the human rights of all people everywhere, said Blinken. Right? Accept the Yemeni people, accept the Syrian people, accept the Iran. Oh, he must have left that out of his speech, right? Because he cares about those, clearly. they really think we're that stupid. And which I actually think I'm going to have to wrap this up right here. I might come back afterward. I took far too long on the first part here, guys. I apologize about that. But there's a lot I'll get into. I actually didn't even hint at what it was. So I'm going to end it with the foreign policy here after this last part. I appreciate you guys all being here. I'm going to have to jump over to my next interview. But to finish off, DC police issue emergency alert on possible militia plot to breach Capitol tomorrow. Weird, right? Weird how this pops up right in the middle of all of this. It just cracks me up. Now it happens. Not only is this going to be a distraction from all the obvious blunders they have, you know, the ham-fisted military foreign policy, but this is exactly what Whitney and I have talked about. It says, here we go again with yet more vague threats by nebulous militant right-wing groups targeted the Capitol, which will no doubt be met with an additional mass increase in security measures, which it's already happening. And of course, these must be those militias that that probably all have FBI leading them at this point. Wait, look, it's not a joke. The two groups that were involved on January 6th had FBI informants leading at the leading positions, which means that was the FBI creating this. This is what they do. So it's just funny how this is the same old thing going around again. But it says the official Capitol Police statement cites credible intelligence of a possible plot in the works by an identified militia group. Right. For all we know, that's Israel again saying we have credible intelligence. And all it is some guy moving in his driveway. You know, it's like it's the same thing they did with Iran. QAnon conspiracists. Conspiracists have peddled the baseless claim that March 4th is the date of Trump's true inauguration. Ah, and there's what it's about. This is based on the fact that presidents were inaugurated on March 4th prior to 1933. So because a couple of people are talking about this whole idea that he's really president, he always has been, they're just continuing to keep the narrative going. Domestic terrorism, QAnon, working with Al-Qaeda and Iran, the whole big thing, it's all converging in their ridiculous narrative. But meanwhile, in totally unrelated news, but actually completely related, it just so happens that also on Wednesday, Acting Capitol Police Chief Yogananda Pittman is testifying before Congress asking for $107 million increase to her budget. I wonder, that's not connected at all, which will go toward beefing up salaries and more resources in order to better respond to any future January 6th style attacks. Right, of course. It's all building towards what they want you to think. Justin Sisa, the ones we've talked about quite a bit, involved with the whole technocratic narrative, issues emergency directive over active exploitation of vulnerabilities in Microsoft's product. Oh, you mean exactly what Whitney said would happen? I mean, like down to the word? Yep, exactly. Earlier, it was reported that China-based hackers exploited a bug in Microsoft email server software. I'm going to try to get it back on as soon as possible to talk about this because this is, I mean, exactly what we called out. From Microsoft to the butt. I mean, this is exact. And it's going to be laid at the feet of the foreign entities, but also tied back in with the agenda to manipulate this whole thing to domestic terrorism, right? That's why they're trying to tie the domestic idea with Iran, with Al-Qaeda, because they're making it about foreign entities radicalizing domestic terrorism inside of this country. And it's going to be used to manipulate you. Don't let it happen. I can't promise, but I might come back on after the interview tonight. If not, it'll be tomorrow. I'll let you know in Discord. I love you guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you for thinking for yourselves. I really love you guys for taking the time to push back against this because it's so needed right now. I love you all, as always. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.